Good morning, ladies and gentlemen and distinguished guests. My name is Glenn Jordan. I'm the director of the Law Centre. And it's my pleasant task to welcome you this morning to our conference. We're delighted you're here because I think it's a demonstration of how live this issue is at the moment, and also I think a demonstration of how committed we all are to bringing about strategic change on this issue here in Northern Ireland. I want to make a few opening comments before we move into the full programme for the day. But I think it's worth noting that these really are extraordinary times as we watch the unfolding of what is said to be the greatest mass movement of population since the Second World War. Extraordinary also in recent weeks to witness how putting a specific individual face and name to this set of tragic events has galvanised public opinion and even deflected the UK government from its established pathway into bending even a little to public will on the matter. At the Law Centre, we make no apologies for setting the bar very high. In the title of our conference, we want to eradicate modern slavery in Northern Ireland. And this moment is one of opportunity for us and for us all in this field. This week we put together a paper on behalf of the Refugee and Asylum Forum proposing five key actions that the Northern Ireland Executive could take to support the long-term integration of refugees into Northern Ireland society. We presented it to a specially convened meeting of Belfast City Council on Monday evening, and it's clear to us that progress on these five key actions will help make refugees and asylum seekers less susceptible to exploitation here. We're pleased at the initial response to this paper, and we'll continue to press for changes, even as we are aware that this is not simply a matter for legislators alone, but for the whole of civic society. So here this morning, and for the rest of the day, we have local NGOs, we have trades unions, we have businesses, we have government departments, we have faith groups, and we have visitors from across the water to be with us for today. We've people working at a policy level, we've people offering practical care and support, we've employers, we've activists. Indeed, this may be one of the most comprehensive groups ever gathered on this issue in Northern Ireland. And so, for that, we are doubly glad that you have made it along and give up your time to be with us today. The purpose of our gathering is to share thinking and ideas on how to tackle modern slavery in Northern Ireland, to increase cooperation between and within sectors, to encourage employers and employers' organisations to be aware of the signs of modern slavery, forced labour, and where to go for help and support, and to call on legislators to improve access to justice and protection for victims of forced labour and to increase deterrence to labour exploitation. And we do this within a city whose history is replete with ironies and contradictions in relation to slavery, particularly the transatlantic movement of people in the 17th and 18th centuries. Though Belfast never became a slave trafficking port, mainly because of legislation designed to protect the ports of Liverpool and Bristol, many of its merchants, many of the citizens of this city and of Northern Ireland benefited from the existence of the slave trade back then. Irish food was transported to feed slaves. In fact, a new method of curing herring was invented or discovered here in Belfast, and barrels of the produce were transported across the Atlantic to the plantations. Local linen from Northern Ireland clothed slaves. Innovative Belfast shoemakers supplied broad-fitting shoes to those working in the fields. Local people owned plantations in the Caribbean. In fact, one Larne man owned almost 2,500 slaves in the Caribbean and received over £5.5 million in today's money in compensation when they were released from slavery. Waddell Cunningham, a local entrepreneur and founding president of the Belfast Chamber of Commerce, first president of the Harbour Board, acquired a plantation of his own after war in Dominica, which he renamed Belfast. And he later unsuccessfully attempted to establish a slave trading company here in Belfast. But alongside all that history, is an honourable tradition of activism in opposition and resistance. Famously, Thomas Russell, the first paid librarian of what we now call the Linenhall Library, wrote a letter to the people of Ireland and urged them to turn their backs on the trade. He described it as that horrid traffic which creates and perpetuates barbarism and misery, and asked if local men and women knew that hundreds of thousands of miserable Africans are dragged from their innocent families and treated with such a system of cruelty, torment, wickedness and infamy that it is impossible for language to express the horror and the guilt. Tragically, if you've been keeping an eye on news and social media in recent days, his letter has a terrible contemporary ring to it. Martha McTeer and Mary Ann McCracken formed the Belfast Women's Anti-Slavery League and sold merchandise to raise money in Belfast for their cause to end slavery, with the motto, "Am I not a man and a brother?" alongside a picture of a chained and kneeling African slave. And even after the slave trade was abolished in Britain, and after all the remaining slaves were given their freedom, even then the passion of Northern Ireland people had not cooled. In 1845 and 1846, while slavery was still legal in the United States, and this country was gripped by its own particular tragedy in the Great Famine, leaders in this city hosted famed abolitionist and former slave Frederick Douglass on a lecture tour, and the Lord Mayor of Belfast at the time, a man called Andrew Mulholland, chaired Douglass's first lecture. How fitting then that our current Lord Mayor, Ardor Carson, chaired the rally at Belfast City Hall this past Monday, calling on the citizens of Belfast to welcome Syrian refugees. The issue before us today is not the same, of course. Modern slavery, today it's about trafficking of human beings, yes, but it's also about forced labour where maybe no trafficking is involved at all. Nor is it exclusively a migrant issue because there are British and Irish victims of forced labour. But no matter who the person is, the Law Centre believes that all victims of human trafficking or forced labour should be entitled to the same care and protection. This practice flourishes in areas where people are isolated, in industries with limited regulation. It can happen when unscrupulous employers exploit labour, or where a third party supplies labour to unsuspecting companies and then withholds their wages or their passports, threatens them or their families back home with physical or sexual abuse, locks them in tied houses or keeps them in debt bondage. And the secret unseen dimension of this means that the numbers are difficult to measure, and the solutions are multidimensional and cross-cutting. And unpicking all the strands is very difficult. But we are not without example or precedent. In a recent address at the Four Corners Festival in Belfast, local historian Philip Orr quoted Jewish intellectual Walter Benjamin, who said, "Every document of civilization is also a document of barbarism." And he went on to illustrate the truth of this saying written into the history of slavery in this city. Just minutes from the City Hall, he said, is a blue plaque marking the workshop of J.B. Dunlop, who invented the pneumatic tyre. A step forward for civilization, of course. But it also created a demand for rubber, which led to an increase in forced labour and the murderous mistreatment of native peoples who farmed the rubber in Central Africa and South America. It's estimated that possibly up to 20% of the population of Belgian Congo died in order to get the rubber for the tyres, for the bicycles and cars of the increasingly consumerist West. One of the key diplomats who documented the cruelty in Belgian Congo and who ultimately exposed it and marshalled the collective outrage necessary to change it was Ballymena-educated Roger Casement. Plans for the creation of the Congo Reform Association were hatched by him and friends in the tea rooms of the Sleeve Donard Hotel. And so here is a hidden and alternative story in Belfast, memorialised perhaps unknowingly or forgotten in Casement Park GAA Stadium in West Belfast. It's a narrative about Congo, a narrative about European exploitation of labour, and of the human zeal necessary for the transformation of a murderous practice. At the close of his comments, Orr said, There has been a distinct history in our part of the world of men and women who refuse to acquiesce in the barbarism that is so often woven through the fabric of life. This is the story of those who've been appalled by blood drops on the Caribbean sugar and the American cotton and the Congo rubber and any other prized commodity. There is another kind of ancestry, another kind of history, but celebration of it must exist alongside action. Action to tackle today's justice issues and to foresee tomorrow's. And that's what we are about here today. We gather here as part of a long tradition reconfigured for the particular and peculiar circumstances of our day, recognizing that our issues are every bit as complex and difficult and maybe more so, but committed to the same ideal, that every human being has an inherent dignity and worth, that the answers to the modern slavery question lie in collaboration and partnership between legislators and trades unions, between employers and enforcement agencies, NGOs and individual activists, in a sure and certain hope that maybe together we can make good on our aspirations and our plans to eradicate modern slavery. As I said at the outset, I'm delighted you're here. I'm delighted you're here as an expression of our commitment to making change in this area. We have an incredible range of people to address us as conference participants, but we also want to make sure that we hear from you, so there will be opportunity for you to participate. But right at the start, it's my pleasure to call on Anthony Harbinson, who is Director of Safer Communities in the Department, the Northern Ireland Department of Justice, who's here on behalf of the Minister. Anthony.